Hello and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. It's myself, Kaya Flynn, with you tonight until 7. You can get in touch with the programme tonight on our text lines. The number is 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can do so by emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie. So let me know what part of Kerry, Ireland or across the world you are tuned in from tonight. I'd love to hear from you, as always. On tonight's show, we revisit the archive of Sean Hurley. We have some music and much more. So, where are we travelling to tonight? Well, it's no other than the parish of the Wild Colonial Boy, Castlemaine. In my opinion, Castlemaine is the heart of Kerry, and that's not being biased because I am from there. But if you think about it, if you are in Castlemaine, it can bring you to Killarney, Killorglin, Dingle, Tralee, Fryeries, whatever turn you go, you know. So it's right in the heart. And a lot of other people may disagree with me, but if you see it from my point of view, I think I'm right, and I'm not always wrong. But someone who lives right in the heart of the village is Nell Kelleher. I visited Nell last week, and she tells me of her shop she once ran, the Resource Centre, and how involved she is with the community herself in Castlemaine.
I'm Nell Kelleher, Castlemaine. I've spent all my life here. I had a spa business.
I remember years ago, my grandmother, because we are from Castlemaine as well, and she used to say that your house here was the local shop. Yeah. And I always found that so hard to imagine. What was it like?
Oh, yeah, it was very busy because we had the local creamery and all the farmers came in. All the milk suppliers came in every day with their tanks to the creamery, and then the husbands in the farm always did the shopping. There were very few women farmers who used to have time to probably mind the children and get the dinners and do some farm work, but the husbands always came to the creamery and they did the messages, as we said then.
Some people do
that was shopping. Shopping is a new word now. You brought the messages home, and I remember when we changed from the shop to a spa supermarket. Oh, they were making a show. We don't know where to get anything. You'll have to get them. We're not going around picking things out of the shelves. You'll have to help us. And then they said, oh, I suppose they'll be here one day and they'll be down at the end of the shop the next day. They said, we didn't used to that at all now, so we want you to help us out. Mm-hmm. But sure, we always help them. And they've got into the habit of doing the shopping. And it was great, really.
And how many years did you run the shop?
All my life, until I had a very bad car accident, and Renee had to take time off school, and she looked after the shop. But I decided then that I couldn't go back and do the business anymore, so I let it then. And I was always interested in the community and Castlemaine affairs. We had always carnivals and all that, and we had Mochran Affirm, and we had ICA. So that there was plenty to do. There were a good few people interested, you know, at that stage, particularly women in the ICA. And I think one thing went on to another, and we were always trying to do something for the community. Mm-hmm. And we started with community care, and we had a good few people attending. We started off by visiting the hospitals in Tralee and Killarney and the homes in Killorglin. We used to pool and give one person to take their car one time, and we'd go in and see people in the hospitals, particularly long-stay patients. Mm-hmm. And we used to have the music, and, you know, it was very good, and it went from that then to other.
And why did you decide to do something like that?
Well, in the country, there was nothing to do much. And people, like-minded people, kind of chatted and came together. And that's how it all evolved. Mm-hmm. Unconsciously, sometimes, you know, people would be roped in, and next thing they decided they'd like to be in the group, and that's mm-hmm. the way things happened. We'd no mobile phones then.
So how did you arrange meetups?
Yeah, we'd kind of send a message by somebody, or, well, we did have the home phone, you know. Mm. Everyone used to make phone calls from here now. All the farmers coming in, they all had to make phone calls, and they used the, it was like a public phone. But we didn't have a public phone then in the village, but we later on then we did.
And is that how the group kind of formed Castlemaine Resource Centre, and how did that come about?
Well, we had, I'm not very good at dates now, but we had a carnival committee, and We had lots of problems about a centre. We'd no centre in Castlemaine at that time. And we used to meet in the school, but then when the school was sold, we'd no place to meet. So Machran and Ferma and the GAA and local people kind of pooled their resources, and we bought a place over the club rooms, we called it. Do you remember them at all?
No.
And the club rooms were small, just one room downstairs and one room upstairs. But it was very good. We had the ICA and the Mokra usually meeting there, but we had Colthus as well.
Fantastic.
And we'd have the Irish dancing there, and polka sets and whatnot at that stage, but it was really too small. And when Milltown School started, when they started building, and when it became very popular for people to go to secondary school, they had prefabs mm-hmm. in Milltown, and they sold the prefab, and it was the GAA helped to buy the prefab. They bought it actually, and then they came to us, and we all got interested. The field was the Castlemaine sports field, and there was very little happening there, so they put the prefab up there. We all joined in and did a lot of manual work, digging and shoveling and whatnot. And we put up the prefab, and from then on it just blossomed, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's what you have today.
Very good. We started, we did childcare there when there was no childcare anywhere. And it was all volunteers. Volunteer, unless you were volunteering, you know, you had no hope of making a living. Mm. And everything that was made was put into the fund. Mm-hmm. And we had great cooperation, really. It was very good.
And now there is the Kerry volunteering in May. What exactly is that?
Well, we didn't have any group at that stage, but there is a Kerry Volunteers group now, isn't there? Because we used them, we used them a lot in the later years. But I mean, you'd be roped in, and that's all you had your job to do. And God help you if you didn't do it.
Nell, you seem like someone who's really been a community person from the moment you arrived to Castlemaine, if that's the right term.
So
I suppose you've seen a lot of people throughout the years who are like you and give their heart and soul.
Well, I mean, we used to meet, and regularly we'd meet, and we'd discuss what we'd like done, and, you know, we pooled our ideas and did a lot of networking. Mm-hmm. And when I say we now, it's a kind of a local people who were interested in doing something for themselves, because we were kind of isolated, and so was a lot of rural areas. Mm-hmm. And we knew that unless that we did something ourselves, that nothing would be done. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to see progress, and we wanted to see women not regarded as second-class citizens. Mm-hmm. Anymore. So we met, and that's it. It emanated from there.
And you're still heavily involved, aren't you?
Well, I'm not now at 92. I don't think I'd be much of an asset to anybody.
Oh my goodness, you don't look a day of it.
I don't know.
And did I hear your birthday's coming up soon?
Yeah.
You don't like the fuss is what I'm hearing.
No.
Yeah. Now, Nell, where we are at the moment as well is when we look outside your window, we can see Jack Duggan there pointing his guns over here.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big commitment to try and get that statue put up a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. There was a local group now. Well, I usedn't go to the meetings because I have a hearing impairment, and I don't know what's going on. I can understand a few people, just one or two people together, but not a crowd. Mm-hmm. And I usedn't go to the meetings, but I'd be all for them, and it was badly needed. Mm-hmm. This monument celebrating Jack Duggan, because everyone who came from Australia, they were always inquiring, where's the wild colonial boy, and we want.
And I assume as well that you can see people stopping outside
all the time, busloads. But it's amazing, it's mostly Australians. Americans now wouldn't know much about Jack Duggan, mm-hmm. but Australians and Irish people who have emigrated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always find it funny whenever someone says, where are you from? And I say Castlemaine, they go, oh, the Wild Colonial Boy or something,
yeah.
As if he's a first cousiner.
I know. Art is lovely. I hope it survives. Mm-hmm. Do you know? Because there's a lot of traffic. Castlemaine now is inundated with cars. Mm-hmm. And for a busy little village one time, it's not busy. It's not busy with business. Cars are flying through all the time. Mm-hmm.
And we are speaking to Nell Kelleher here on Travels Through a Kingdom tonight. You can get in touch by texting or WhatsApping us on 083 300 3300, or emailing myself, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll be back to Castlemaine just after this break. And indeed, it is myself, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7 this evening on this Sunday's Travels Through a Kingdom. Now we are returning to our chat with Nell Kelleher in Castlemaine. I suppose you've seen Castlemaine evolve enormously over the years.
Oh yes, it was a very strategic place, you know. It was between North Kerry and South Kerry. It was you had to pass through Castlemaine to go from one to the other. But it was they had plenty of battles there up to the castle was built in 1215. And it survived for 400 years. They tried many times to demolish it. And when the bridge was built, a part of the castle now, wouldn't recognize it. It was a ruin, you know. Mm. But that was the only part that was left. And it was the only castle spanning a river, mm-hmm. in Ireland.
Oh, amazing. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it spanned the river.
Where do you see Castlemaine Resource Centre in the next 10 years? What would you love to see happen?
It's still rural. Mm. And no matter, I know that the country people are availing of all, nearly all that is unavailable, but that there is a big difference between big cities and all the facilities available for people there, and the country people then trying to avail of similar services and resources. Mm-hmm. I think that there is such a big gap, you know. And then women, of course, women need to take the reins. Mm-hmm. We've seen, look, I know it's easy talk. Talk is cheap. Mm-hmm. But men have had the opportunity of progressing, and 'twas all men were making the rules and regulations and we were all abiding by them. But, you know, I often think, and especially since the war in Ukraine, that maybe, that if women were in charge, would we have so many wars? Would we have so much aggro? And I won't be around then. I'll be looking. I won't say down. I don't know where I'll be. I was thinking, since we were, my generation have gone through an awful lot of changes. We had the decimal coinage, and we had to go from 12 pence, 1 shilling, and 8 half-crowns and a pound and all the rest of it. And we had to go to decimalisation. Yes. And that was an awful change for older people especially. And we used to have classes, even though we didn't have a computer in the centre. But we got together and we got great help, really, from the statutory bodies. I can't think now of who they were, but of course you had to have money to pay for them, but we had classes and we used to go to Tralee and to various classes that were being organised in the town. And anyway, we thought to ourselves, if we had a computer in the centre, that we'd be able to follow all these events that were happening, and that we'd get to know how to run them ourselves. So we started classes, and you see, that time we could get computers. They'd bring about a dozen computers, and we'd have the class. And then when they were gone, you know, we had no computers, so we were, FOSS now was really good to us. We had a FOSS scheme at that stage, and we had, I forgot to say that before that we had Father Sean Healy and Sister Bridget in the they had a program called part-time job opportunities, PTJO, part-time job opportunities. Yeah, and it was different to FOSS. FOSS had a lot of criteria that we used to have to adhere to, but this was more flexible. And just kind of left to ourselves what we wanted to do, and we'd all great preparation for this, but we had a lot of networking to do. It was really word of mouth and networking that kind of put us going all together, because we'd be ringing each other, and it was no private business that was being discussed. It was all the time what would be good for the community and what the community wanted. Even though you say to me, I should take my bed up there. You see, when Father Sean Healy, it was a 3-year programme, and when he finished, we contacted FOSS to see would they take us on. And luckily they did, and it was very, very good. We were, we had various supervisors, and then at the community centre got so big that we had to have a supervisor ourselves. So FOSS kindly allowed us look for a supervisor, and Dan is the man. Dan got the job, and just kind of playing sailing. There was somebody there to take over. But before Dan arrived, we had we were looking for a computer, and I was acting supervisor because it was so new that nobody would kind of take it on at that time. And I said we'd plough away together, you know. We really needed a computer, and I wrote into FOSS asking them to, that telling them what we needed the computer for. We got a letter out saying, oh, A, B, C, D, the full alphabet, saying that we'd have to prove that we needed it, and for what, and all this, and who would be operating it. And it was very, very busy in the centre, and we saw the need. Do you know, one thing kind of put us thinking about what could be done. And there were other places then that there were in Tralee. Now we used to meet some of the supervisors in the groups in Tralee, and we did an awful lot of networking. I used to network with a very successful lady in Dua, Bernie Broderick. Do you know her?
Yes, she's still there.
Yes, she is still there. Well, the two of us helped each other. We kind of applied for... we knew everything that was going on because we had people alerted. Tell us when this is being advertised, and we'll apply, and we'd get together and we'd apply. And we were the family, there were only about six or seven family resources all together in the beginning, yeah. And then Tralee had one, and Listowel, I think, and maybe South Kerry, yeah.
So you must have had a lot of people coming to you at that point when the idea was...
Well, people were slow to catch on first because they thought it was too good to be true, you know, because we had to fundraise for everything we got, and only for the benefit of knowing the GAA and having cooperation with them, of course, and Machran Afirma. They were very good for, they often gave us funds, you know, and when they saw we were doing things, and we all helped out at carnivals, and we made money, sales of work, and but everything depended on our own efforts. But then when the family resource came along, oh my God, they were funding. Yeah, and we hardly believed we were in that situation. It was great the way things are happening now, and they're helping people. They're helping families, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been involved now, only I'm all the time interested in the everything rural. But I think that, you know, the day is gone. People, a lot of women are going out to work now. There was no work that time for women.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nell, it's been lovely talking to you, and thank you so much for telling your story and everything above and beyond. Oh, you're yeah. such a lovely community person, and I'm sure a lot of people see that in you.
I'd say I've forgotten half. You know that I didn't say enough, but...
Yeah, but people know.
They do. They were very good, you know. There was cooperation always, really. Yeah. But sometimes your best wasn't even good enough.
We'll leave it at that. And that was Nell Kelleher speaking to me on this evening's Travels Through a Kingdom. Now, Nell also mentioned off-air that there are so many people that she would love to thank and has made such a difference to the community of Casamain. But she said if she said them all, we'd run over time. But I'm sure if any of you are listening out there tonight and you are in any way connected with Nell, you know that you have her absolute thanks. And she will always appreciate everything that you have done with her over the years. A huge thank you to Nell for having me and inviting me into your home. Let me know what you thought by texting 083 300 3300. You can text or WhatsApp us there, or email myself, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll have more on Travels Through a Kingdom just after this break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom with myself, Kaya Flynn, until 7. We were speaking with Nell Kelleher on tonight's show, and do make sure to let me know what you thought of our chat. And do you feel like you'd like to share your story of where you came from and everything that you've done to achieve in your community, or just to tell a bit of a story? Some of you might have like scales or anything like that. You can let me know. You can email kflynn@radiokerry.ie. I'd love to hear your stories, and it would be such an honour to broadcast them here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And don't worry, I will come out, I will pre-record, and I will do everything to make you feel as comfortable as possible. But as I said, just send me an email, kflynn@radiokerry.ie, and we can arrange something from there. Now it's time to revisit the archive of Sean Hurley's Kerry White here on Travels Through a Kingdom.
Sean Hurley on 97 FM.
We spoke to Mamie earlier on the programme tonight. You're going to recite for me, is that what you said?
Well, I have a poem about the flood.
What flood are we talking about?
Of the flood-ridden area in Ballylongford here. We've had the last few years.
Yes.
And they say, whoever they are, that there are more sandbags in Ballylongford than people now at the moment.
Yes. I've seen some photographs of that. They're very distressing, really, aren't they?
So I'm part of the Listowel Writers Group.
Yes.
And we can do and please and write about whatever we like. So I wrote a little thing about the flood.
All right. Off you go now.
On January the 3rd in Ballylongford, the tide, it rose ominously. The wind and the rain had entered the chain. The outlook weighed heavily. Homeowners stood by with fear in their eyes as the water surged beyond their doors. Firemen arrived, were quite surprised at the frantic defence of wood floors. Long hoses were drawn at the passing of dawn, but the flood, it marched incessantly. The brave council men who refused to give in stayed pumping so desperately. Then as day broke, at last there was hope as the tide ebbed slowly away. Lost souls wander round, just numb from the sound of sirens and pumps at play. But the spirit shone bright as the community unites to clean up this unholy mess. Their homes may be damp, some forced to decamp, but for now they couldn't care less. For water's tide will not dent their pride in a village that laughs through adversity. So Mother Nature, beware. You can declare in Ballylongford no victory.
Thank you. Now, my next guest is a very special person as well, even though she's not from Ballylongford. She decided she'd come along today because, you know, she heard about this lovely group of people out here and she'd like to be part of the day herself. Now, she's a lady that I've met a number of years ago and she told me a lovely story. She was for a time in the old Edinburgh Hospital outside of Tralee in the Ballymacallaghet region. A lady that's lucky to survive and she's still here today. Helen, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
You might tell very briefly to the audience here today that little story again. You're living at the moment and hanging in there, aren't you?
Yes.
And doing very well?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the story? Tell the story.
4 years in Edinburgh. I got a TB when I was 15 and had a lung removed. And the other one has gone well for 60 odd years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And my mother died there with me, which was terrible. She was only 49. There was such an epidemic and also a terrible stigma attached to it.
It was a time where whole families were affected. Oh, yes. And indeed passed on as a result.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, quite young people and elderly people. Yeah, it was terrible. But a great hospital, though. We got great care from the Bonsecours nuns.
Yeah. Now, living on one lung all these years, you know, you have survived it. You've been to the United States.
Yes, yes, no problem. And five children. I was awful lucky. I was married to a lovely man. I'd marry him again. He was so nice to me. Mm-hmm. Dinny, you know him, Sean.
Yeah, that the late Dinny Murphy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You're giving great hope to people maybe that have a little bit of disability in their lives at the present time. Yes. What's your message?
A light heart, I expect. Yeah. Keep the bright side out.
Yeah. And this lady, she sings as well. Even though with one lung, she's a beautiful singer. I don't know whether or not she might sing me a verse of a song today. Have you anything that off the top of your head?
Round our campfires, tapers gleaming, seated with a social few. What on earth could be more pleasing than the hours I spent with you? Happy are we all together, happy, happy, one and all. May we lead a life of pleasure, may we rise and never fall. Friendship makes us all so happy, friendship makes us all unite. Friendship makes me sing this ditty. 'Twas friendship brought us here tonight. Happy are we all together, happy, happy, one and all. May we lead a life of pleasure, may we rise and never fall.
Now, wasn't that absolutely lovely? There you are. Isn't she a light to everybody out there? Now, there's a couple of ladies I think I might have not come to yet. What is wrong with you, dear? How are you?
I'm great, thank God. Great.
I tell you what, we had the tea inside there and the scones a while ago. They were lovely.
Lovely, yes.
Who makes the scones around here?
Oh, Eileen Mulvihill.
Eileen Mulvihill. Yeah. Eileen, congratulations to you. Beautiful scones.
Yeah, that's why we come every morning for the scones and the tea. Yeah. Great. And the chat.
And where did you lift off from this morning, tell me?
Oh, just up the Well Road, down the middle of the village.
What's the name there?
Joan Barrett.
You love the Friday morning, sir?
Oh, love it. Yeah. Love it. I had the quietest place you could ever come to.
Do they give you a little job here to do now?
Oh, yes. I'm in charge of the financial position. I run the bingo.
Well, you know, if you don't mind me saying, so, she's got a look of a financial woman about her, all right. I thought she was a bank clerk or something like that. You are doing very well.
You're great, thank God. Great. Happy great. Out.
Yeah. That's good. Out. And thank you for having us.
And thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. I'm delighted. Teresa Collins, how are you, dear?
Very good, thank you.
You're the kind of the quiet lady in the group, are you?
Sometimes.
And you're from here as well, are you?
Yeah. From the village, yeah.
How would you describe the village at the moment? You know, has it declined in any way?
It's like a ghost town. You wouldn't see the dog in the street.
No, yeah.
Very quiet.
What does Belly Longford need, then, in your own opinion at the moment? Facilities?
Yeah, exactly. We've only one shop. We have the post office. We have no guard station.
And long ago, almost every door was a shop in our village long ago. We had everything. Few bakeries, few butchers, everything.
Oh, we have nothing.
And now down to one shop.
Down to one shop. Well, you'd never know in time to come, you know, there are people out there who are looking for quieter places to set up business. Perhaps Belly Longford could be one of those.
They're waiting a long time for somebody to come to Belly Longford.
Yeah. Never lose hope, that's what we always say, never lose hope.
Yeah, but it's so different, like, it's a completely different place. And it's our age to find it most, like.
But anyway, hopefully things will come right for you at some stage, all right? Yeah. Thank you very much. How are you?
Grand, thank you.
Are you all right, you are?
I'm fine.
Are you enjoying the morning?
I'm enjoying the morning, every Friday morning.
And you're local as well?
I am. I'm from Lena Moore, Belly Longford.
Lena Moore, Belly Longford. I often heard of Lena Moore is right. And what's your name there, Lena Moore?
Nora Fitzgerald.
The best luck to you, Nora. Thank you. And keep coming here for as long as you can, won't you?
I will.
On Friday mornings. Thank you.
And that was the archive of Sean Hurley's Kerrywide here on Radio Kerry this Sunday evening. I hope you enjoyed it. It will be available on our podcast page on Spotify and the Radio Kerry website as well. Just search Travels Through a Kingdom. I want to say a huge thank you to Nell Kelleher for coming on the show and sharing her story with us here this evening. If you want to get in touch with myself at any point, you can do so by just emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie, or if email doesn't suit you, why not send a letter to Kaya Flynn at Radio Kerry Main Street, Tralee, County Kerry. I would love to see a written letter as well. Stay with us here on Radio Kerry as Elaine Kinsler is on the way with 7 days, taking a look back at the week overview. And then Sean Riley is on from 8 with Irish favourites, so do stay tuned for that as well. But for me, Kaya Flynn, until next Sunday, take care and I'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.